so they go.
The conference is in lecture mode.
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to this conference call on focusing and decisions. The call is now in lecture mode. I'm Ann Weiser Cornell, and I can not hear you because I've muted the line so you can hear me, and that helps us have a nice, clear line without an echo. So I know people are still arriving. I'm excited. I'm very excited. In fact, just give me a moment.
There are currently 56 participants in your conference.
So just to let you all know, there are currently 56 people on this call, and we know already that people are here from all over the world, not only the United States, where I am right now, but also Australia, Israel, Germany, and the Netherlands, and there may be others. So I'm very excited that there's so much interest in focusing and the application of focusing to decisions. I know there are people on this call who have experience with focusing, and I know there are other people on this call who may be calling in to find out what focusing is. So I'm going to take just a few minutes to describe focusing very briefly, at least enough so that we can do some exercises today and find out more about how to apply focusing to decisions. If you're just joining the call, I can't hear you because I've put everyone else on mute. This is Ann Weiser Cornell, and it's a conference call on focusing and decisions. So welcome, settle down, find a comfortable chair. Please have a piece of paper and a pencil in front of you, or pen, because I'm going to ask you to do some writing today. And the first thing you might want to write and be thinking about while I'm talking is, what's a decision you'd like to work with today? Probably should not, it should be some decision that's important to you, and you're not going to have to tell anybody else what it is, unless you want to. And just write, be thinking about what decision you'd like to work with today in our exercise, while I just talk a little about focusing and decisions. Focusing was developed out of research into successful psychotherapy quite a long time ago. Now, in the late 50s and early 60s, it's a method of awareness. Focusing is a method of attending inwardly, sensing a bodily felt sense about the issues and circumstances of our life. And what is really quite amazing is that when you stop, when you pause and allow a bodily felt sense to come, it's different from our usual emotions and our usual thoughts. And it already begins to solve the problem we're facing. But there are some particular ways of using focusing to work with decisions that I've been very excited about lately. Just a few words of introduction about myself. My name is Ann Weiser Cornell. I've been doing focusing myself. I learned focusing 35 years ago, 1972, from Eugene Gendlin, the amazing, remarkable man who brought focusing to us, who wrote the book Focusing, and who's still thinking and writing. God bless him. I've been his student and friend and colleague for 35 years, and I've been developing ways of applying focusing to difficult areas of life. My first book is The Power of Focusing. My second book is called The Radical Acceptance of Everything. And I find decisions an especially interesting area, not just for the functional reason, well, let's just make our decisions more easily. That will almost be a side effect of how we're going to work with decisions. Like, yes, your decision will get made. But even more important, I feel, is that the decision itself becomes a doorway to know yourself more deeply and to come into a fuller sense of wholeness with yourself. So We're going to be, for those of you who are just arriving, this is a phone class on focusing and decisions. And you can hear me, but I can't hear you. So it's okay if you say, hello, hello, can you hear me? Nobody can. That's okay. That's what's supposed to happen right now. Just settle down, relax, have a pencil and paper, and begin looking for a decision that you'd like to work with today. So we'll be using focusing, which is a process of gentle awareness, to find the treasure in a decision that we have. And looking for a moment at decisions in general, my philosophy is, if you have a feeling, I have to make a decision, if there's something in your life that feels like a decision you have to make, that's a special pointer. Because so many things that you do in your life, you don't have to make decisions. You did not have to decide to wake up this morning. You didn't have to decide to comb your hair or brush your hair. By this time in the day, there are a thousand things you've done that you didn't have to make a decision to do. So I would say that our natural state of flowing action, we don't have to make decisions. We find ourselves acting in ways that enhance and carry forward our life. So then in those areas of life where we do have to make a decision, something interesting is going on, something funny, something strange, something that's a pointer to a place in you that needs more attention, that needs more listening. So we're going to say a decision is like a spotlight shining on that area of your life. It tells us we need to do some inner listening. Something in us is calling for some attention. And I'm going to say that to actually push on and make that decision by force would be to do a disservice to yourself. First, let's do some listening that the decision is calling for. So you've got your decision, you've got your piece of paper in front of you. I would like you to write that decision down in two or three sides or parts. So if you've got the decision now as, what am I going to do about my job, let me invite you to take some time to rewrite that as A and B, the two sides and possibly a third side of the decision. So, shall I leave my job or shall I stay in my job? Or shall I stay in my job but transform it somehow? So those are the kinds of things I mean when I say take your decision and let it be two different parts. Shall I leave the relationship or shall I try to convince my partner to go into couple counseling or shall I do nothing at all? So those are the kinds of things. Let's have two or three parts or sides to our decision. Just a moment. I'll be right back with you in a second.
There are currently 74 participants in your conference.
For those of you who've gotten here recently, this is the phone class on focusing and decisions, and my name is Ann Weiser Cornell, and we're asking you to take a piece of paper and write down not just the decision you want to work with today, but also the two sides or the two parts or maybe three that are involved in this decision. So shall I do X or shall I do Y? Shall I go back to school or shall I move to a different part of the country or shall I? So those are the kinds of decisions, and they might not be such big decisions. They might not. Shall I go to the Focusing Institute summer school next August or not? Right? Shall I go to the Focusing International Conference in Israel in May, or not. So the second one could be or not. I'm going to ask just a few people to tell me, if you're willing, what you've written down already. I'm going to bring us back from mute. Okay, here we go.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Okay, now you can always mute yourself by pressing star 6. And that will continue to mean that you can hear me, but I can't hear you. And it's probably a good idea to do that unless you actually want to ask a question. And so the tones that you're hearing right now are probably a lot of people putting themselves in mute. Who would want to be willing to tell me something you wrote right now for the decision you're working with today?
I have a decision that I'm looking into.
Okay, and can you say your name?
Yes, my name is Barbara, and I'm in New Jersey.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Should I join a co-ed gym nearby my home, or should I join an all-female gym 15 minutes away?
Okay. There you go. A nice, clear decision. Two choices there. Uh-huh. Great. Someone else?
I have one.
Everybody, just as a general rule, could you say your name and then whenever you're speaking. What's your name?
Ellen.
Go ahead, Ellen.
I have a three-part. Should I work in the mental health field? Should I work in an alternative to help people and heal the planet? Or should I do other work entirely?
Okay. Three parts there. Great. Thank you. One more person?
Okay. This is Patricia.
Patricia?
I have one part that is or going solo or join an organization I know working in international health.
Uh-huh.
The second part is whether I should continue doing the type of work that I do with technical assistance, or should I move to something more related to leadership.
Now, when you say the first part, each of the things you said sounds like a separate decision.
Oh.
Right? So pick just one of those for today.
Okay.
And could you say the second one again?
It was related to the type of work.
Type of work.
Yeah.
So let's, for example, if you pick that one for today, then A would be, should I
continue doing technical assistance?
Continue doing technical assistance. Okay, that's number, that would be A, that would be side A. And B might be, should I get into another type of work? Right? So for each decision, we're going to have two sides or three sides that are the different options. Shall I this or shall I that? Does anybody have a question about that?
Yeah, hello?
Go ahead.
My name's Ronan. I'm calling from Ireland.
Go ahead. Wow, great.
And I have a question. What if you have a decision that there doesn't seem to be, in my decision, two sides to it? I'm pretty sure that I don't want to stay in the line of work I'm in, but my only question is, what else should I do?
I know. You know, unfortunately, my method works best if you've got a couple of alternatives.
Okay.
So see if you can make it work like that. Pick a couple and
okay.
Or it, you know, the other thing is, yeah, no, that's what we'll say about that for now. The method really works best if you've got some specific alternatives.
Well, which could be, Ina here, which could be, shall I stay in that or not?
That's what I was going to say, Ina, which great to hear from you, by the way. Exactly. If it's hard to make a decision to leave a certain situation, you still might want to work on, shall I leave or shall I stay? Even though it feels like you've decided to stay, if you haven't done it yet, you might still take those two options, shall I leave or shall I stay?
Okay.
Yeah, that's very possible. Okay, I'm going to put everybody on mute again. We're going to do the next part of the exercise.
The conference is in lecture mode. There are currently 82 participants in your conference.
So the next step of our exercise, you've got your decision, you've got your two sides. And one caller, for example, said, shall I join a gym near my home that's for both men and women, or shall I join a gym that's just for women that's a farther drive away? Okay, so those are the two sides. Now, I want you to take your piece of paper and rewrite the two sides, putting the words, something in me. Something in me wants to. Okay? So start the sentence, something in me wants to. And then go ahead and write whatever you had. So in that case, it would be something in me wants to join the gym near my home, and something in me wants to drive farther away to be with just women. The other example, a person says, shall I stay in technical assistance or shall I move to another type of work? So you would rewrite that, something in me wants to stay in technical assistance, and something in me wants to move to a different line of work. Our philosophy here is that we have a decision because there are two or more aspects or sides or parts inside of us that are pulling us in two or more different directions. And we're going to use the focusing process to do some listening to these different sides. We're going to, we have three principles that we're going to follow as we work with decisions. So let me say what those three principles are. The first is, we are not going to try to make the decision. So when our process is complete, when our process of working with the decision is complete, we will know it because the decision will make itself. And there will be no more decision. We'll say, what decision? We may even forget we ever had a decision. So that's how we'll know that we've done a complete process of focusing with our decision. So we will not be trying to make the decision. That's principle number one. Principle number two, this is the important one for this moment. Principle number two, we're going to cultivate an inner atmosphere of respect for all aspects and sides in this inner process. So the fact that you have a decision to make means that you have different sides of you that are pulling you in different directions. In order for us to do a focusing process with this, we want to create an inner atmosphere of respect and listening. See, those sides in you are already, to some extent, fighting with each other. There are some people for whom this is very severe and intense, and others for whom it is very mild. But the very fact that you have a decision means there's a not knowing which way to go. There's some sense of inner conflict. There are like different competing forces inside of you that are pulling you in different directions. So we're going to be you. I'm going to have you identify with your own impartial listening self, that you can listen and listen to all the parts of you and find, well, we'll see how to do that. They themselves may be pulling in different directions, but you are going to stay in an impartial position. And I'm going to be showing you how to do that. And the third principle of decisions using focusing, the way I do it, is what we mean by hearing all the parts. When I say you're going to be a listener to all the parts, what we mean is not just letting them tell us over and over what action they want us to take or not take. We're not just talking about repeating over and over, I want you to leave, you've got to leave, hurry up and leave. But what we mean by deep listening is hearing what is under the those urgent requests. So we're going to listen to what each part of us is not wanting and wanting for us to be able to feel and experience in our life, regardless of the particular actions that they're talking about. Okay. So you wrote down for each of your sides, something in me wants to, and something in me wants to do this other thing. So something in me wants to do this, and something in me wants to do that, and maybe a third one, and something in me wants to do that. And notice if that made a difference already when you say it that way. When you start out, should I do this, should I do that, I don't know. It may have already made a difference when you said it this way. Something in me wants to, and something in me wants to do that other thing. The philosophy that I like to work with as I'm showing people how to listen deeply to aspects of themselves is a philosophy of gentle listening and listening from presence. And let's take a moment just to talk about presence. What do we mean by that? We've said that focusing is a process of sensing, sensing in the body, the whole way it feels about some situation in your life. The next thing we do in focusing after sensing is sensing more, sitting down with, getting to know the felt sense that's there. Felt senses are not the same as emotions. They contain or have in them a lot more than just a single emotion or a single approach. A felt sense is intricate. You've heard it said that a picture is worth a thousand words. Well, so is a felt sense. The body's whole sense of some situation that you're in has an intricate, complex, more than just a few words. It's a whole understanding, a whole sense of where you are in your life. So once there is a felt sense there, the next step is to sit down and get to know it better. And we're going to use that focusing process of felt sensing and then sitting down and get to know it better. But in order for that to work well, what I've discovered is, along with my colleague Barbara McGavin, what we've discovered is that we need to be in presence. What does that mean? Presence is the ability to acknowledge and hold and be with all the different sides of yourself without getting caught up in the inner struggle between them. So it's what we were saying a few minutes ago about being that impartial, unbiased observer or listener within yourself. So you're going to stay out of the struggle. You're not going to step in and make the decision or choose among the sides within yourself for the purpose of this process, this exercise. You remain the listener. You remain in presence. And that means you stay interested in what everybody inside you has to say. You know, if you're a decision maker for a business, or something like that, or a family, or in any group situation, it makes sense, if you have time, to hear each person's point of view and each person's opinion and to take that all into account. So let's do that on our way to making, which we're not going to do. We're not going to make our decision, but on the way to the decision resolution process. I want to unmute again and check in with people. And just see if people have questions before we go on to our next stage. Okay, I'm unmuting.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
So how was it when you changed your sentence from should I to something in me wants to and something else in me wants to do this other? Did anybody have a question about how to do that? Or a comment about how it, what happened when you did that?
This is Deborah.
Deborah.
And one of the two questions became a little more clear that may be the direction to go.
Ah, but so already it became more clear.
A new question that will need to be addressed before I can move forward with it.
All right. And feel free, if your decision questions shift, let them do that. You don't have to stick with what you first wrote, because this is an evolutionary process. It transmutes and changes as we work, and we want it to really be open to doing that. Somebody else.
Hello, Ann. This is John in Berkeley.
I'm sorry. In Berkeley who?
This is John.
Go ahead, John.
When I changed it from shall I stay in my office to something in me wants to stay in my office, something wants me to move out of my office.
Yeah.
I started to get a much clearer of the complexity of things that were moving me in the direction of wanting to leave the office.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I want to sit and listen to each of these somethings.
Yeah. Yeah.
That came up for me.
Great. That's just what I was hoping would happen. So a greater sense of the complexity of each side and a wanting to sit and listen. And that shows me, John, that you've moved into presence. Because when we're in presence, we have a genuine curiosity. We have a wanting to listen. Somebody else.
Ina, I had three things, and when I wrote something in me wants each of them, two things happened. One, I don't know, like a gurgling, giggling, I don't know, it became very exciting,
yeah,
or interesting, and I felt that place, or whatever it is, that issues felt senses, which is fun, because usually the decision seems to be just the verbal battle. Very high up in the body, like in the head.
Exactly.
And when I got to the third one, I really laughed out loud because I don't see that as an either-or at all anymore. So really, I'm
wow.
back with the two that remain more complex and interesting.
Wow. So that's a great description, Ina, of coming, as we start to do this inner work with focusing, we're coming down from a verbal battle in the head, which is so frustrating and doesn't really carry us forward. We're coming down into the body and into a sense of honoring and listening to these sides, which each has a gift for us. We're going to do an exercise in a minute that will let us begin to find even more of the gifts in our decisions. I'm putting everybody on mute again.
The conference is in lecture mode. There are currently 84 participants in your conference.
And I also just wanted to make a little offer to people, everybody who's on this call, and by the way, there are 84 of you from at least 6 different countries at this point. I'm very, very excited and thrilled. It's really fun. I do have a phone class on decisions coming up starting on February 1st. You can read about that on my website. I'd like to give a discount of $25 off to anybody who's listening to this call. And you can just go on the website and sign up with the deposit and send us an email to say you heard the call and the special offer, and then you will your balance will be reduced by $25. But this itself is a self-contained free phone seminar on decisions, and let's do an exercise now that will hopefully take you a couple more steps toward feeling a resolution of your decision and also finding the treasure that's in it. So having your piece of paper and your pencil in front of you, because there may be a couple of times during the process I'm about to do with you, that I'll ask you to write a word or a few words on the piece of paper. The reason I do that is that that tends to help people feel a little more connected and aware and present with the process that we're doing. So if you feel it would distract you to write, then don't do it. And then any time I give an instruction that doesn't feel right to do, feel free to skip it. But sometimes people feel when they're guided through a process like this that they fall asleep or they get distracted and space out or something like that, because it's a little funny to be guided along with 83 other people on the telephone. And that's why have a pen in your hand, have it poised over that piece of paper in front of you. And at a certain point, I'm going to ask you to write certain words. Okay. So, taking a little time right now to imagine yourself just slowing down and letting your awareness settle and rest into your body, resting into your body as it's sitting on the chair or however you're sitting right now. You could even be lying down, but just noticing your body, how you're sitting, noticing where your arms are, what your hands are touching, and being aware of your legs and your feet. Being aware of your breathing, and as you exhale, letting your breath help you settle even more into your body. And being aware in that middle area of your body, where you're sensing your throat, your chest, your stomach, your belly. That area is often where felt senses come, but not necessarily. So I would ask you to be very open and to accept and allow any experience that comes as we do this exercise. And trust that what happens for you is what's supposed to happen. Taking some time to sense in that middle area of your body, in the area that includes your throat and chest and stomach and belly. And remember the decision in the form that you most recently wrote it. And say to yourself these words very slowly. Something in me wants to do that, da da da, fill in the words. And something in me wants to do the other, fill in the words. And notice how it feels to have that decision in front of you. Taking some time just to notice the feel of having it. So we're not making it. We're not talking about one side or the other. Right now we're talking about having that whole decision sitting in front of you. Take some time to ask and sense how it feels. And don't answer quickly. Take a little time. Ask inside yourself, how does it feel to have that whole decision sitting in front of me? And when you get a word or two for how it feels, I would invite you to write that. And then, when you've written a word or two, show that to your body, checking if that is how it feels. And now, I'd like you to say again the two sides of your decision, and this time, add the words, "and I'm saying hello to," okay? So, I'm saying hello to something in me that wants to da 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 da. Right? Fill in the words. And really do that. And then say hello to the other one as well. I'm saying hello, and I'm saying hello to something in me that wants to do the other one. It sounds like some people are coming into the call now. I hear some beeps. Just to let you know, we are in the middle of an exercise. The call started about 35 minutes ago, and there will be a way to listen to the call again later for those of you who came in a bit later. So I'll be telling you about that at the end of this call, which will come in about 25 minutes. So we're just saying to each side of the decision, hello. And again, noticing how it feels to do that. Hello to one side, hello to the other side. And noticing how that feels. So when you're in presence, you can say hello to anything that arises in you without feeling like you have to fight it or push it away or struggle with it. Just noticing if that feels possible right now. To say hello to one and the other. And how that feels, it probably feels pretty good. A kind of spaciousness, perhaps, that you have room in you for saying hello to one and then the other. Okay. So now, sensing which one of these is calling your attention the most right now. Eventually, I hope you'll take time to listen to both. We're going to only have time today to do one. So sensing, not like picking the one that's better or that you like more, but which one feels like it's ready to speak to you or feels juicy or feels like it's saying to you, me first. Or something like that, and taking a moment just to sense one or the other, and of course there may be three, so one or the other, something is calling, one of them feels like it's first. Okay. So again, sensing your body, how you're sitting, sensing in that middle area of your body, throat and chest, stomach and belly. And then inviting something that wants your attention, that side of the decision, that aspect that called you the most, inviting that to sit down right in front of you and letting the other side know it will get a turn some other time. You care about it. You care about its opinion. We're going to just take this one first, that's all. It's not choosing a winner at this point, forever. So one of the sides is in front of you. I mean, in other words, visualize it sitting with you, but where it is in your body is up to you to sense. And you're sensing how it feels. So getting a felt sense, inviting a whole sense inside of something in you that wants to go in that direction. It takes a little time, and it takes maybe a little willingness to be in the unknown for a while, because it's not the same as just thinking again of all the reasons why something in you wants this. We know all those, and they're here with us, sitting down across from us, and then that's all here already. Now we're inviting the whole body sense, the felt sense, the whole sense of all that, the one that wants that. And some of you may have one already, and others need more time. And just to let you know that what's unclear or vague or not in words yet is exactly what we're looking for. So if it feels too vague, it's okay. It can be vague. We'll just call it that one for now. So that place in your body where it feels a little bit queasy or tight or heavy or uneasy, or that image you're starting to get, or that emotion, maybe sadness or something like that, it's welcome. We're open to whatever arises. And take a moment with your pencil, your pen, and your piece of paper to write what's coming right now. When you invite that one, a sense of that side of the decision, the one that wants your attention first, write a few words that say or begin to point to what's coming right now, how it feels, how the whole thing feels. And then show those words back to your body. So if you wrote queasy tightness in the throat, then read the words queasy tightness in your throat and sense in your throat. Does that say it well? Queasy tightness. So you're making more contact with this side of you, the one that wants to go in this direction. And remember, you are the listener. So we're never going to argue with it or try to make it feel anything it doesn't feel. This is pure listening now. Listening that doesn't argue or disagree. So taking time now to sit with it, to let it know that you're going to spend time with it and that you really want to get to know it better. Perhaps in a deeper way than you've ever been able to get to know it before. So when it was just telling you what it wanted or didn't want you to do, that's one level. Call it the action level. We're now dropping down and sensing into the feeling level, the felt sense level. And you might invite it to let you know what it wants you to be able to feel. So it wants you to take that particular direction, yes. But right now, you're inviting it to let you know what it wants you to feel from doing that, from going there. So taking your pen and your paper and being ready to write as it lets you know what it wants you to be able to feel. It wants you to leave your job. Maybe it wants you to feel free. It wants you to stay in your job. Maybe it wants you to feel safe, secure. So that what it wants you to feel, it might even show you as a body sense. Okay, and so writing that on the paper, showing that back to your body, just checking if that feels right, that that's what it wants for you. Now, in some cases, what you got might have been a negative. That is, it wants me to not get hurt or that kind of thing. So that I would call not wanting. And sometimes our parts need to tell us what they're not wanting. They may be protecting us from something or trying to avoid or prevent certain outcomes and certain feelings. So not wanting is just as welcome as wanting. But just notice if that happened. Notice if it let you know what it was not wanting. And if it did, let it know you really hear that. In fact, everyone no matter what you've received. Let it know you hear it. So if you felt this part saying to you or showing you that it wants you to feel free, creative, open, or safe, say back to it, so I really hear how much you're wanting me to feel free, creative, open, and safe. Again, no arguments. It's not a good time for the other part to come in. If it does, let it know you know it really wants to be heard too. But you are in presence, so you're continuing to say, I really hear you, to the part that you're spending time with. And then noticing how it feels now in your body. So this side of you has let you know something. What it wants you to be able to feel or what it doesn't want you to have to feel. You've let it know you hear it. Now notice how that feels in your body. And again, perhaps you'd write a word or a phrase that captures the way your body feels now, noticing if that's different from how it was earlier. Okay, so let's bring our exercise to a gentle completion for now, so we have a little time for discussion and questions. Just as I promised, we didn't try to make the decision, but we've spent a little time listening to something, an aspect of you that's involved in this decision. Take a little time right now to let your inner world know that you're willing to come back and listen more. And you know there is more. This is only a beginning. And also to thank, see if you'd like to thank and appreciate your body and your body's process. I'm just going to repeat the process we went through to review what we did. We started with a decision in the form, shall I do this or shall I do that? We changed that to something in me wants to do this and something in me wants to do that, and there may have been a third option also. Then, doing focusing, bringing awareness slowly into the body, slowing down, doing body sensing, we got a sense of how it felt to have the decision. Not either side of it, but just the whole sense of having the decision in front of us. And then we said hello to each side. Hello to something in me that wants to do option A. Hello to something in me that wants to do option B. We took time to sense which one needed to be first, to have the first turn. And when that one sat down in front of us, we sensed how that felt in the body. We got a felt sense of that. We described that a little. And we invited a sense of what it was wanting for us, what it was wanting for me as a positive feeling. Open to the possibility that it might tell me instead what it was not wanting, and that was also welcome. We acknowledged what we received, and we completed this session by sensing again how that left the body feeling, and by saying we would come back and spend more time listening, and by thanking that body process. So hopefully you'll be able to spend time, perhaps even by listening to this call again. Well, I'll tell you later how to do that. And come back and listen to the other side of the process. There are also some other things that can be done in working with decisions. But I think this gives a good taste of it. I'm going to bring the call back from mute, so we're open to hearing your questions. If you don't feel like asking a question right now, please mute yourself, mute your own line, if it's not already muted, by pressing star 6. And you would press star 6 again to unmute. So here we go.
The conference is no longer in lecture mode.
Okay. Who's got a comment, a question? And say your name.
Mm-hmm.
And say your name.
Serena.
Okay, Serena. Nice to hear you.
Yes. So here's what I experienced. I had the question A and B and C. When I went, I reformulated them. It's something in wants to. The C went away.
It's uh-huh.
Like not the part that it's really had the voice.
Uh-huh.
And then when I went to A and B and how it feels in my body, it was feeling not satisfied. And what happened is sort of a new possibility.
Oh, a new possibility.
Sort of a way of integrating the A and B. Like the A and B was, am I going to use for a certain thing? An attorney that I've been advised to use, or one that is part of a legal plan I'm part of. And so this heard the new voice that came in was like, well, I'd like you to look into both and make the decision based on what you think is best for you.
So there was a way that something came that was really an integration or a resolution?
Yeah. A new way of
Great.
Looking at it.
Thank you, Serena.
Yeah, I took the
Thank you.
Part A advice and still looked into that. And
uh-huh.
Again, from that, what seemed like what it wanted is was because I
Great.
Took the person to that it gave me the best advice. So
Thank you. Serena, I'm just going to ask you to pause a moment for me because I got a lot of other people I want to hear
okay,
from. But
thank
you so much. Someone else wants to ask a question? Or say something.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Your name?
Yeah, my name is Sayed.
Okay.
What came up for me was that I decided to go with B, which brought up a lot of excitement in me, and thinking that that was going to bring up positive feelings. And instead, I noticed there was what came up was a lot of fear and doubt and fatigue in my body. And what that was showing me was that, you know, this choice ultimately, I think, is teaching me or trying to get me to reach a place of inner strength, calmness, steadiness, and fearlessness.
Uh-huh.
And as I sat with that, I started to, my mind, I don't know, maybe went to a transpersonal space where I saw that, you know, I don't have to do B in order to feel those things, but it's an external event that ultimately, you know, I should be able to just cultivate those qualities without.
Perhaps you already began to feel some of them, even in this exercise.
Right.
Yeah.
But I still also, I think, I'm a little confused now because that doesn't, does that mean I shouldn't do B or that?
We're not making the decision. We're not making the decision. You will know what you do when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is exciting that we free ourselves from the parts of we're not freeing ourselves from our parts, but we're moving beyond a limited view where some part of us thought, I had to take that action in order to get this good feeling. We're discovering that the intentions of the parts of us to give us enjoyable, positive, forward-moving feelings can be met in many ways. And that leaves us freer to make life choices on another basis and not just because those feelings are wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
My name is Laura.
Go ahead, Laura.
I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was wondering, I was a little confused when you said that feeling or that felt sense might be trying to tell us about something that it wants us to feel or something it doesn't want us to feel.
Doesn't want us to have to feel.
Have to feel.
Right. The feeling...
So my,
yeah.
My three parts of my question were, or my decision were, to do one thing, the other, or not do either of them.
Right.
The third part seems like the easiest thing.
Okay.
Because it's less work, everything.
Okay.
When I focus on that, I get a sense of tiredness, exhaustion. And then when you brought that up, it might be trying to say something to us that it doesn't want us to feel.
Yeah.
And I went back and forth. Is this something that...
Well, you know, Laura...
Wants me to or not?
To me, I think it already told you that it didn't want you to feel tired and exhausted. I think that's sometimes what parts of us do, is they show us how they're feeling now, and yet there's also a sense of not wanting us to have to feel that even more. Or to continue
and
to feel that?
Be related to the first two parts of...
Well, that would be for you to sense, but I think it might well be related. That because that's been something that I've often encountered. There's a part of me that's excited about going to do something, and I find a part of me that doesn't want to, and it may be saying, I'm so tired, I'm so worn out, my life has been, you know, so hectic lately, and it's just showing me my tiredness. And that maybe what it's telling me is that needs some attention. And so I would be sure to say to that part, I really sense how tired you are. I really sense how exhausted you are. And one of the themes of focusing that is so powerful is that when we acknowledge how we do feel, there is already a sense of moving forward and release. And that's something our culture doesn't really acknowledge for us. You know? There's almost a tendency, and I speak especially as an American, I know there are people from other countries here, but I think especially for us in the U.S., there's a tendency to say, well, if I can't do anything about it, I'm not going to pay attention to it. You know, I can't let myself be tired. I can't let myself be afraid. And so this is a whole different philosophy of that. So if I'm going to turn toward my tiredness,
the position that sort of runs through the whole the whole theme of the whole the job.
Oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you so much, Laura. One more person has a comment or a question.
My name is Marion.
Go ahead, Marion.
And what I found when I was being present with my option B was I felt awash in sadness and regret.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not sure, and the sadness and regret came up so strongly and so immediately, I think even as I was formulating my question, that I think there was... I don't think I got any... detachment or any way to evaluate whether this was something I would feel if I went forward with this part of the decision or if I'm feeling it now.
Yeah.
And
to start with, I think we just need to say hello and acknowledge to it that it's there.
Okay.
And I think that's very similar to what I was just saying to Laura. So what we're being presented by our body is what needs our acknowledgement. And that's what comes now for us to say, yes, I know you're there. What that is about, what it needs, those things will develop. And what I'm saying about presence is that that is that sense in us that can turn toward anything inside us and be a listener, a good listener. So if you had a friend who was feeling that sad, what would they want from you? To just sit by them, keep them company while they're sad. And we give ourselves, we can learn to give ourselves that same kind of friendship and company. And what it's about and what it needs and what it means for your decision, that comes later. And thank you very much for that.
That was very helpful.
Good. Great. Wow. This has been, the hour has just gone by like a single minute, hasn't it? I want to say a couple of things by way of completion. One is that this phone call is being recorded and can be listened to again. I will be putting, by tomorrow, I'll be putting on my website the way to listen to it again, and it'll be available for 30 days. So you just check in again at focusingresources.com. And if you want to find the page where that information will be, on the home page in the upper left, it says Free Phone Seminars. Click here for more. And that More page will show you how to listen to this call again. We have three more phone seminars, free phone seminars, scheduled coming up in February, March, and April. The next one is on focusing in daily life. Just how to stay in touch with myself and current with myself for all the different things that come up as I go through my life could be related to decisions. And we also have, if you go to that same website, focusingresources.com, and click on the Network tab, you can see some sites for recommended focusing teachers, some folks who, in case you're new to focusing, in case you don't already have a focusing network or a focusing partner, you can meet some people there who'll be happy to take you through a focusing process and maybe work further with something that's coming up for you here. Also, feel free to email me with questions that have come up from this class. I'm happy to do that. I love focusing. I'm the biggest fan of focusing. And it's been such a precious gift to my life and to many, many decisions, which I thought at the time I was making I was making decisions that other people around me, including sometimes my parents, thought maybe weren't the best decisions, and they've all turned out great. So those are just a few of the things that we can say about focusing and decisions today. Thank you very much to this fabulous international group of people from so many countries. I'm excited, and I welcome you to stay interested in focusing, and happy focusing.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
There are currently 62 participants in your conference.